Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh! Wonderful shot by Lennox Lewis!
A right hand by Holyfield!
By Boston Douglas! Look at this! He's knocked Mike Tyson down for the first time in his career!
But unfortunately, it'll never happen.
French punches and punches, and it's over!
I think it's gonna be over.
Aguero in big trouble against the ropes!
I have to say, there seems an element of genuine hate between these two, Ambrose.
For sure. I don't hate the man.
Just imagine if you bought a ticket. Stop it, Frank. You can stop it any time.
Castillo's in trouble. Weak steps in, and the fight is over.
Oh! You got your nose up.
Welcome back to the Legendary Knights podcast. This is the season 4 wrap-up show. I am your host, Sean, joined by Johnston for this final episode of the Legendary Knights series this season. And it's a good way for us to reflect upon what we've done this season, the body of work that we've produced, but also it's more enjoyable for us to really reflect upon that work and really appreciate the efforts that we go to as podcasters to try and produce some high quality content for yourselves. And I'll be honest, guys, like, what you probably don't realize is in the midst of us producing these episodes and putting the research together and editing the episodes, putting them out there, we don't really get the opportunity to fully reflect upon the body of work that we've done. So we don't sit there once the shows have gone out and actively listen to them until maybe 2 or 3 months down the line. It's my job to edit the episodes, and I will work on the episodes as I'm going along, but it is stop-start, so you don't really get to fully appreciate the work that you're putting out there until a few months after the show has aired and it's been out there. So for us, when we do these season wrap-ups, it's kind of like our natural reaction to what we felt it's gone like, how we think it's come across, and obviously some of the feedback that we've received. And we always like to talk about our favourite episodes and the stories that we've uncovered and learnt about and educated ourselves on. So it's always a great opportunity to have this final conversation around the series and what we've enjoyed and what we could look at in the future with the series, of course. And, you know, there's also a little bit of news towards the end of the show, which I'll be dropping upon everybody else that might not have already heard the recent announcements for the future of the network. So I'll certainly be covering it off again in this episode. Apologies to everyone who have already heard the announcements or heard the necessary episodes or seen any of the posts that might have gone out on social media, but I will like to do it for the benefit of people that maybe haven't done that. So, Johnston, at this point, it's time to, of course, bring you in for your introduction to the season 4 wrap-up. And just maybe before we start dissecting it in a little more detail, just a little bit of an initial feeling from yourself as to how you think the season's gone and sort of the enjoyment factors and things that, you know, you've really sort of got to enjoy over the course of this season.
Yeah, I think it's been a really successful fourth season. I've really enjoyed going through these stories and these tales about some fantastic boxers throughout the history of the sport. And I think what we did do is we covered pretty much every decade, pretty much throughout all the years. I mean, there was a lot of recent stuff, which was, I think, was different to other seasons where we even, you know, with Golovkin Canelo, for instance, quite up to date in terms of when those fights were, but as far back as 1910 with Johnson Jeffries as well. So it's, I think we've had a quite, it's been a varied episode list, and ones where you have some big, massive fights and others where they obviously not so much in terms of the worldwide side of things. And I think we brought a good description of some of those fights that are lesser unknown to the wider public. And I thought we'd done a really good job of doing that and presenting it to to you guys, and I'm hoping, well, we're hoping that it would have inspired you to go and watch some of these fights that maybe you may not have done before previously. So, but each tower on its own has had a unique tower, hasn't it? And I think that's the one thing I've enjoyed about this season is the length of time that we've managed to put into each of these episodes as well. I mean, we're talking, what, 2 to 3 hours per episode, which is terrific. There were times when we was a bit worried whether we'd be able to produce that length of content, but what we did do, we did very well. And we just hope you enjoyed listening to them. And as you say, you rightly said just then, Sean, is we don't really get the chance to go back and listen to these shows. Literally, it's on to the next one. So we don't have the fortune of being able to do it. We sort of pick our ones that we think are going to be the better ones and not actually listen to them. But this time, going back and listening through them all, I've really enjoyed the work we've put together. Sometimes I have to pinch myself because when you listen to the information we're giving you, it's there's no other podcast out there that can present the material that we do. And I think that's where we're unique in ourselves. And we're blowing our own trumpet, but damn rightly so, because we work bloody hard to put this information out to you guys, and we just hope you enjoy it.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that I always like to say, and I do bang on about it a lot, and I apologize again in advance if people have heard me say these things before, but it's because I feel so passionate about talking about these subjects and how it affects us as podcasters. You know, we started this show out many years ago. It had its inception around early 2018 before you joined the podcast in 2019. And then when you joined the podcast, we started to develop this in our own way, uniquely working together. And as time went on, we started to develop it in an even greater style and a greater way. And all the while, we've not had people in the background to help us in this capacity. So, you know, we sit there and we have to, like you say, pinch ourselves sometimes when we're getting nominated for awards for certain shows, realizing that we are just two normal average Joes that love this sport, that are boxing fans, that don't consider ourselves to be experts or paid historians, but we are just people that are passionate about this sport, that want to produce the highest quality content. And the research and the time and effort that goes into doing that is quite great. So that's why we don't get to appreciate the body of work that we do, because like you said, Johnston, we do move on to the next shows, and it's about preparing and researching and recording and editing and producing. And, you know, we're doing all this solely on our own. We haven't got a team of people behind us that are producing all this stuff for us. In an ideal world, if you was heavily financed by a sponsor or a company that wanted to invest into the show to take it to the next level, then quite easily we'd probably produce more content over the course of a year because we'd have the time. We both have full-time jobs. We both have children. We're doing this for the labour of love and, quite frankly, for the fact that we are boxing fans first and foremost, and we want to produce high-quality content that is different than what other boxing outlets are doing. Because you go to another boxing outlet and it's always the same stuff, and then you'll go to the next boxing outlet and they're just trying to repeat what the other boxing outlet's doing. So for us, it's about making ourselves unique, and most importantly as well, what we actually enjoy covering within this sport. It is a labour of love trying to do some of the weekly shows at times and trying to talk about incidents that are happening within the sport and its current day, and thinking to yourself, God, I'm falling out of love with this sport a little bit, and then maybe something will happen and it'll pull you back in. But it's the history side of stuff, it's the series-based content, it's the niche that we have within our network which keeps us going and makes us enjoy this particular show and the other shows that we do cover. So yes, I am ranting a little bit, but I'm positively ranting because I want people to understand that it is hard work putting this together. It really is. It takes a lot of time to do it, and we don't necessarily have that time that maybe others do because they're doing it as a profession, whereas we're doing it as a hobby. And we're quite fortunate that we get paid for doing this as a hobby, and we're quite fortunate that we have absolutely wonderful people that support us through the Patreon membership service as well. And without that combination of things happening, we wouldn't really be able to take it to that next level. So I suppose at this stage, I am going to say a little thank you just to everybody that listens to us, because if you didn't listen to us, then we wouldn't be here doing it because we'd see no value in doing it. So first and foremost, thank you very much for listening to the season. Thank you very much for listening and providing feedback for us as well. It has been greatly appreciated. So now I've gone on that little bit of a passion parade, I'm now going to move on to talking about some of the episodes in particular this season that have struck a chord for us. Now, Johnston, you've rightly pointed out the variation in the content that we've delivered this year, and a lot more modern day classics have been included for this season. And yes, we felt like it was something we wanted to do when we planned the season out, because we knew there were fights that we'd purposely left aside because we wanted to cover them, because we knew they were going to have good stories that surrounded them. When you put these episode lists together, you don't necessarily automatically go for the big time fights. You could have a one-off fight between two fighters, but there might literally be no context behind it, no great stories to talk about. Then when you look deeper into the sport and the history of it, you find that there are actually fights that may be not necessarily known by the wider public that actually have so many fantastic stories around them that it actually captivates your imagination. And having imaginative personalities like we do, that's quite important to us, and that's why we do what we want to do. So handing this back to you now, Johnston, is there any particular episode that absolutely stands out a mile off through this season that you've enjoyed covering, taken a lot from, been educated on, and has made you want to go out and absolutely learn even more so about the subject and the fights involved?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a couple. I think for me, the Sugar Ray Robinson and Carmen Basilio was one of my favourite episodes because of the fact that, you know, you got the ties of the mob in there with Frankie Carbo and Blinky Palermo, and, you know, I've got a fascination with the Mafia in a way. So having that entwined into that fight, their fights in particular were really great. And just the story of Carmen Basilio, the way he was a journeyman that got himself into a position where he could fight for a world title, 1-1, and then beat the great Sugar Ray Robinson in a terrific fight. Two back-to-back fights for Fight of the Year as well. Yeah, that was one of my favourites. And just some of the quotes from Carbo in there as well, and just how he was as a fighter, how he didn't bend down to the mob, he refused to, and that sort of struck a chord with me. That was one I really enjoyed, and I really fascinated from the fight. You end up moving into gangsters. I think I probably watched The Godfather not long after doing that show. It just inspires you to want to learn more about the mob. But yeah, that in particular, and I liked Kayla and Christie, because Mark Kayla and Errol Christie, you know, it was for an elimination bout. It wasn't even for a world title. It was an elimination bout for a British title. But just the ins and outs of that, and hearing the trouble that this country was in at that point with racism. That's another probably a current theme was sort of, it seemed to come out a lot more, basically, the racial theme, whether it be Kayla or Christie, or whether it be even Lewis and Conn at times, because there was always that issue there. And then obviously the last one with Johnson Jeffries, which is another one of my favourites. The last one is, I've always wanted to do Jack Johnson, James J. Jeffries, because it's been such a, I suppose the first time I ever really dived into the history of the sport would have been, I'd have been encapsulated by Jack Johnson. And then Jim Jeffries' fight is the one that sort of stands out like a sore thumb. And it's just everything that surrounds that, you know, the build up to it. The actual fight itself wasn't great, but the aftermath of it, how horrific it was. But it was just a great episode in general. I mean, we done a little bit on the fight. Most of it was the build up and the aftermath of it, and how much information there was on that fight is incredible. So yeah, for me, I think they're probably my favourites, but the favourite, I mean, probably one of my favourite Legendary Nights that we've ever done, Sean, is Ben Eubank, because it's just that niche, isn't it? It's that feeling, we live through it. It was a massive fight when we were children, and to be able to cover that fight as adults is always special. And I'm really pleased that we redid it as well, Sean, because obviously we'd done it very early, and we directed it just around the first fight, where we didn't go into as much detail, and the format we produce now was completely different. So I'm glad we redone it. And for me, yeah, Ben Eubank, I think it is a legendary night, and it's something for me on a personal level, as well as the fact that the first fight was as great as it was. But yeah, Ben Eubank is definitely the standout for me. How about you, mate?
I'm going to have to say, side with you here, and not to be a bit of a party pooper, but Ben Eubank, that's the one. That's the one. When I think of this season, I think of Ben Eubank. And I echo what you're saying. I am so happy that we made the decision like we did in Career Profiles, doing Muhammad Ali again, I'm so happy we did Ben Eubank again, because when I look back on the body of work that we did originally, I know it's nowhere near as good, and it is quite cringing to think about sort of where it was to where it is. But then I said this to somebody quite recently, and they said, no, don't look at it as cringing. Look at it as see how far you've actually come on your journey to be able to produce what you're producing now. You've gone from being, you know, a bit of off-the-cuff work, a bit of knowledge-based work, a little bit of research, to being a fully-fledged podcast network where you're producing high-quality content, which is 2+ hours, providing the ins and outs of everything that you could possibly provide for a tale and a fight, and learning people about these fights, learning people about these times, and educating people. And that's one of the words I've used quite a lot recently when talking on these shows, is about education and educating people on this sport. And when people pick these shows up, they're not just listening to it for the sake of the fact that it is about a particular fight, maybe from history that they recall or they want to listen about. They're also picking it up as well because they're learning something, and they know they're learning something from it. And it's great when I see the YouTube comments come through and people actually listen to the episodes on YouTube, bearing in mind that we don't actually put any visual stuff over the top of them. People are actually spending two and a half hours listening to us on YouTube and being educated on a certain fight and a time, and then putting a comment below and saying, that was a really good episode, great education, didn't know this about such and such a fighter. To me, that's really humbling. And it also means that we have reached the goal that we've set out to achieve, which is to produce a high-quality episode where people are becoming educated and also enjoying it at the same time. And Ben Eubank was one of the ones from this season where I honestly went back and I thought, you know, this was the one when I recorded it with yourself, Johnson, where I felt I had a good feeling about it, and I thought this was the one that'll stand out for me personally. A lot of nostalgia around it, of course, because of the time that we grew up in. So it was taking ourselves back in time to the early 1990s and remembering what life was like in the UK, remembering what it was like, and obviously having family around that, unfortunately, are no longer with us anymore. And it is a little bit bittersweet as well, because when you think of these fights, you think of the times, that little bit of nostalgia creeps in, but then also that side of things where you think about what life was like at the time creeps in. And to me, you know, it makes me a little bit sad, but only a little bit, because then I think to myself, do you know what? I've got them memories are with me, and I'm very fortunate that I lived through that period of time, that I was able to enjoy that period of time in life. And then to go back and do these types of episodes as an adult, like you said, is just fantastic. And that's why we wanted to cover quite a few episodes that were more recent, like the tale of Lennox Lewis and Mike Tyson. You know, you're a little bit older than me, a couple of years older than me, but I was around 16 at the time that fight happened. And it's like, I remember, again, what life was like, what society was like, the fact that there was no social media, and, you know, all this stuff that was going on around the time is something that I hold quite dearly personally. So to relive all that again and then produce it and then look back on it and think, do you know what? It was such a big event for the time, even though it was pretty much a mismatch in the ring. It was just the event and the significance of it at that time as well. So, you know, there were a couple of episodes like that really stood out to me. But even doing Canelo versus Golovkin, it had a different meaning for us, because for us, we covered them fights together. We covered these shows together as part of this podcast network. So it's like there's some shows that we've covered in this season that for us, without even knowing it when we've planned it, Johnston, when I look back on it now and I think about it, I think we've not even realised that we've done this until now, which is we've done certain points and certain fights in time, which for us have had some sort of historical personal significance to them, haven't they?
Yeah, Canelo Triple G was a bit unsure. I mean, we had it sort of in line for last season, and then we got to the stage where we was like, do you know what? Let's get it done. Because of the fact is Golovkin, it looks like he's probably over now. He's finished with, and he's probably going to retire, although he hasn't announced it. But look, it was a great tale. It was good to reminisce, and while you're reminiscing, it's you're remembering all those articles that we read before they had their first fight, and would they ever fight? And then Canelo sort of debating about whether he wants to fight a middleweight. And then there was this, when eventually it came out, they were even potentially saying that he wasn't going to fight at a middleweight limit, which was just ridiculous to even think, well, why would there be a middleweight title on the line? Just because we want to see it. But in the end, he fought at 160. Look, again, I still think Golovkin won the first fight. That's never going to change. If anything, I actually probably think he probably edges the second as well now. I thought, if anything, I might change my mind and think, well, maybe the second Canelo gets. I still don't think Canelo gets that either. So, it's weird looking back on that one. And as you say, a lot of that stuff was already there. Anyone can access what happened with them two. But it was great to tell it the way we did, and the build up to their fight, and eventually they were always going to be on a collision course. But yeah, a great episode that. And I think one of the other ones as well, which surprised me, was the Bogolotta one. I know there was a Legendary Nights show, obviously the original Legendary Nights that you can watch on YouTube. But I mean, I think there's only 20 minutes long, 25 minutes long now. We done that, great service. And I think we done a good service for Andrew Golotta as well. And explaining how he gets to where he gets to and the type of character he was, it made me explain or made me understand it a little bit more as to why he did the things he did in the ring. But what an entertaining chap he was, and an entertaining tout, wasn't it, really? And a good fight. The second one's a good fight as well, both of them. And there were a few, as you say, Sean, the one thing about all these towels is there's a few mismatches in it. I think probably half of them were. But the towels that surround them, the way we produce the tale of these two fighters on this collision course, and then the fight that happens, and in the aftermath, it is just it's always just a great show. It's the very first show we ever put together, and as you say, you know, the development of it has been quite, I mean, it's true. When you listen to Eubank Ben one that we first ever done, and you listen to this, the transition is quite remarkable, really, and a pat on the back for us. And yeah, again, you just hope you enjoy the whole tale of the story of both fighters and how they eventually come to meet. But yeah, I think that was another good one, actually. I do forget about that. Riddick Bowe, Andrew Golotta was a really good one.
Bowe Golotta was a surprisingly great tale. I'll be honest, guys, when we put the season together and we look at the episode lists, we obviously take into consideration things like the fights themselves, the build-up to the fights, the aftermath, but also, most importantly, what are the stories that we can source for the episode which will make it a good tale and a worthwhile tale to produce and for you guys to listen to that you won't have heard before, or maybe there's parts of the story that aren't as publicly accessible that we can certainly get to you guys and educate you guys on. And Bowe Golotta was one of them for me, because there was so much around that fight that I didn't truly realise, and I didn't know the stuff with Golotta until we used literature from Lou Duver, of course, and using a lot of stuff from him was able to produce an episode on Golotta without being able to get hold of Golotta directly and actually hear a lot more into the guy's psyche and understand why he probably was the way he was at that particular time of his life and his boxing career. So it was really good to learn a lot more about that. We'd already done Riddick Bowe previously with the tale of Bowe and Holyfield, so we had an understanding of Bowe's career at this point, and we knew what type of a fighter he was, and we knew some of the stories around Riddick Bowe and some of the stuff in the aftermath that we'd covered with him before. But having Golotta on, it was different, and it provided a totally different way of us producing a show and producing information that maybe you just haven't heard at all before, because there's not a lot out there. And I honestly felt the same with Kayla versus Christie as well. I think that was one that I was really, really happy to produce, and one that I was genuinely concerned might not strike a chord with people listening. So, you know, if you haven't listened to that episode and you've skipped it, what are you doing? Go back and listen to it. It really does have all the ingredients for what Legendary Nights is now defined as on this podcast network. Because Legendary Nights isn't just about the fights anymore. It probably could be called Legendary Stories or something maybe a little bit more apt. But when we first started the show out, it was based around HBO's Legendary Nights series. And then as time went on, we then started to produce more stories around it rather than just specific fights, like the stereotypical fights which have been covered already on the show. Now we're producing episodes around completely different stories that have got overarching themes around them. And this season has been an overarching theme of racism quite a lot, with the Kayla Christie episode, Johnston Jeffries, as you've already pointed out, Johnston. We obviously had the Joe Louis element of it as well. So there's many episodes where we've had to go into the depths of how bad the racism was and produce stories. And one of the most shocking ones for me that I didn't know about and didn't understand until we did the show was Johnston Jeffries and the impact of Johnston's victory over Jeffries and all the murders and the hangings and everything else that happened as a result. I thought that was absolutely shocking, and it's one of them things that I'll definitely take away from this season in particular, and it will stay with me, and it will be one of those that I'll certainly be more empathetic to as time goes on and we start to do more on people like Jim Jeffries in the future, and you know, we start looking at other old-time fighters and understanding how bad the time was and society was and how much things have changed. And me and Lukey was quite converse about that in the final episode for the after show of the season as well. And that was kind of an overarching theme of that particular episode. But in general then, Johnston, if we're gonna sum this season up, you know, is there a good way that you would sum it up to you? Because I want to know what your thoughts and feelings are finally, because of course, when we've got them thoughts and feelings, there are bits of information that we need to share with the rest of the listeners that might not already know about the transition of the show and the transition of the network as well.
Yeah, I think for me, season four has probably been our most definitive in terms of the information we've provided for each show and each episode, really. The in-depth amount of information, which we did provide to you in season three as well. Season one, I mean, I think there was like 30-odd or 20-odd episodes or 25 episodes we had done before we'd sort of changed the format of it and doing 10 episodes kind of thing. And then we decided to do 10 episodes in 10 weeks. And this one in particular, we didn't branch away from the list. I think season three may have changed one or two. This one, we literally done a list and we stuck to that list. We never switched it. Career profiles we did. I think we had George Dixon in, switched it with Peter Jackson. And then we had Archie Moore and switched in with Henry Armstrong. But this year with these Legendary Nights and season four, it's been precisely that's the list and we've stuck to it. And as you say, there's been elements where I've been like, oh, Kayla Christie, can we actually do anything on this? Thankfully, you know, the grudge fight, there's discussions with Steve Bunce on there. He does a show on his radio network. And obviously we had Christie's book as well. And all the other stuff we found, all the historic newspaper stuff. So we was able to present a great episode. But as a whole, I think there is a racial element within this. Especially when you look at Johnston Jeffries and obviously Kayla and Christie and even Ben Eubank to an extent. I know you've got two black fighters, but it wasn't necessarily a racial thing. It had moved on from, although racism was very evident in the 80s, but it had moved on from more of a society issue. So I suppose the society issues of that as well. And the variation of this whole season, I know they've been more up to date, but in terms of its diversity, it's been great. Across the weights as well, I've enjoyed learning so much. You know, that's the one thing with this show in general. I've learned so much doing all of our other formats, but Legendary Nights has obviously been one that we've very first started. I mean, our very first episode was Frotch Groves, and that was just two guys reminiscing on a fight. But I believe I counted that the Johnston Jeffries fight was our 60th Legendary Night episode. So it's been a nice one to round off on. A nice round number in 60 days. But 60 episodes of Legendary Nights we've been able to produce for you since sort of the start of 2020, end of 2019. So, you know, as I say, it's considering where we've come from in that amount of time to what we're producing now, it's evident. I mean, they're just terrific shows. We enjoy doing the research for them, editing, recording them. Hilarious. I mean, I think for me, the most funniest part of this whole episode was probably laughing at Galotta on several occasions, because just thinking this guy's off his hinges. But obviously with the Mike Tyson rant, I just lost my composure when I was having to read out his rant. But yeah, that was quite hysterical, really. again, you know, that's the one thing, you know, sometimes there are so many things that happen. It's like, I don't know how to explain it really. Like, there are moments where you're like, what the hell was he doing? And that, you can't laugh at that. We're not necessarily laughing at the situation, but having to deliver it, I think that's the funniest thing of it, showing it. Having to deliver the lines. Johnson Jeffries, for instance, just some of the press and how they write things back then. Not only is it racist, clear as day, but even just the terminologies they used was hilarious. I think Rex Beach, his description of James Jeffries, you ended up falling apart, sure, because it sounded like he definitely liked Jeffries a lot more than just the fight. I think he admired his body. It was like, it's just crazy. But yeah, I suppose that's one thing I would say is with this season, again, like all the other seasons, you do find yourself pissing yourself laughing when you're reading these things out. But yeah, we hope we've delivered a fine season for you. I think it has been in tip-top shape. Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure presenting season four to you guys.
Well, on that note, I think it's the right time with that in mind to again reconfirm, if you haven't already heard or seen anything on social media from us or seen any of the episodes on the main BTR Boxing podcast feed and you're just picking this up at this point, it is to confirm that unfortunately it's with great regret that, Johnson, you are stepping away from BTR Boxing Podcast Network after nearly 5 years at the helm in what has been a tremendous, tremendous 5 years, seeing where we've come from to where we have got this podcast to and the network to is an unbelievable feat and an unbelievable body of work. And I hark back to what I said earlier about the fact that we do this together, we do this on our own, we don't have that support, we don't have a studio, we don't have producers, we don't have video editors, we don't have anything like that, but yet we are still able to produce such high quality episodes that people love and enjoy. It is something that I think I know I'm very, very proud of, and I'm very, very proud of the fact that I've worked with someone I've built a great relationship with up over the years. But it is also bittersweet as well, because we started this show up together, like you've rightly said a couple of times, and for you to obviously now be stepping away, and for Jamie to be stepping into the helm and stepping into the shoes, it is going to be a transition indeed. But what I will say, I suppose, on behalf of everybody that I'm sure is listening and thinking, no, why are you going? Why are you leaving us? I'm sure I'll say this for everyone when I say thank you for putting this together. Thank you for all the hours, countless hours, hundreds of hours, if not thousands of hours of research, production, spending all of that time out of your own personal time and life to be able to produce a show like this, which is a body of work which will last the test of time. And it's what they call in the industry, they call it evergreen content. So this is the sort of content you'll be able to pick up in 10 years' time after, Johnston, you're moved on and you're doing completely different things in life. And maybe myself, I might be at that point, but you're able to pick this sort of stuff up and listen to it, and it'll still be as relevant then as it is today as we've produced it. So yeah, a big thank you from me, a big thank you, I'm sure, from the listeners as well. And I'm going to let you have the final words on this wrap-up show, just specifically around Legendary Nights and specifically around what we've built here on this particular show, about obviously the moving on and sort of your time that you've spent doing this show and the enjoyment factor and everything that you've done to help bring this to where it is.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's been an absolute pleasure working with you, Sean. It has. I know you've enjoyed it too. And, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, things do come to an end. And, you know, the reason why I'm having to step aside is because, I, you know, look, I love boxing. I do. But football's always been my number one sport. I don't think it's ever been surpassed. You know, the amount of hours I put into football's always, you know, it's been a part of my life. And so has boxing. So I suppose the fact is I'm 41 years of age, you know, and I'm not going to be able to continue to play football for as long as I would like. And through the years previously, before I even started this podcast, I'd collected my coaching badges and I hadn't really explored it. I did a little bit for a little while, but I just didn't want to sort of stop playing. And now it's, I'm not saying I'm going to stop. I'm going to continue to play. I play vets football, so I will continue with that. But football coaching is now somewhere where I'm going to step into, and that's where I'm going to be spending my spare time doing. So, you know, I can't physically do this as well as that. I suppose the one thing is I love doing these shows. I enjoy doing it with you, Sean. And I think the one thing I will say is I love the fact we got reach out to people and people can listen to these shows. And we've had some great messages through the years from people saying, you know, that listening to that one show helped me get through something. And that's just terrific to hear. And that's why we do this. We do it not because we want to be historians or we're just doing it for a little bit of money in your pocket. Yeah, that's nice. We, you know, at one point we weren't getting no money. Now we're getting a little bit of money and it's great. And obviously we want to maintain that and progress that. But I suppose you don't get to see it. You read it and you'll see what you're producing by reading it through someone on a YouTube or a social media account. But you don't actually get to see it. And I think for me, with coaching, football coaching, for instance, I see it. I can tell a kid to do something and within a few weeks, he's doing it. So I'm able to deliver it and see it myself. And I think that's probably the benefit I get from coaching probably more than this, whereas this can be quite isolating at times. I suppose that's the one thing I will say. The negative is it can be isolating because you're there and you're researching on your own. No one's really getting involved other than yourself, Sean. That being said, it's been absolutely tremendous. I've enjoyed every single minute of it and I will continue to try to learn more on the sport. I will say that boxing in terms of today, the current form, I have lost a little bit of love on it. I ain't going to lie. I'm not going to say that I haven't. I don't know what it is. It's just something, I suppose, that happens through time, you know. So the history of the sport will always be my passion, always be my love. So looking at Legendary Nights, our very first episode with Groves and Frotch, and we've done 60 episodes, and the transition from that very first episode to this one with Johnson Jeffries is unbelievable. And I feel that, you know, I'm going to be doing something else. And Sean, you know, the amount of work you've put in to Juice BTR has been brilliant, and it's been an absolute honor to have jumped on and board with you. This is your baby, mate. This is something you've created and started yourself. I've just jumped on the back end of that, and I hope I've progressed the show further than what it was before. And I know with Jamie coming in, very knowledgeable about the sport, very knowledgeable about the history of the sport, eager to learn. And he will be a great asset to BTR Boxing. So I would like to welcome Jamie on board and obviously say my goodbyes. But look, you know, I'm hanging up my microphone. It's just a chapter of my life that's going to end. But as you say, the information we provide is something we can always go back on and throughout the years. And I will finally remember there's been several episodes. Look, 60 Legendary Night episodes we've done. And I haven't listened to them all, and I will be, to be honest with you. I'll get a bit of spare time when I'm at work. I'll be listening back and obviously listen to the current stuff for you and Jamie as well that you end up going to do. Yeah, look, it's a goodbye for me, but the show must go on and the show will continue and it will continue to progress and get better with yourself, Sean, and with Jamie. But the last thing I'd like to say, Sean, it's been an absolute pleasure just working with you, mate. I can see you as a good friend, not just someone I do a podcast with. So we'll obviously keep in touch. It's just been great. So we're doing it with you, and thank you for inviting me on board. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have even got it. You know, you asked me to come on for one show and it's gone from there, isn't it? It's continued to now to February 2024. So yeah, that's the last bit I'm going to say from me, but it's goodbye from me, but it's not goodbye from BTR.
Absolutely not. No, of course, if you've been listening to the recent shows, you'll know that Jamie Albrecht has taken over the mantle of the co-host of the show and the network and will be joining me for the future shows this year and beyond, of course. Again, big thanks to Johnston for being a massive, massive integral part of this show. And without him, we wouldn't have been able to progress this show to where it is at this moment. So again, guys, if you have any messages for Johnston about the work he's done, about making mistakes with names, pronunciations, anything that's comical, anything that you actually...
I'll tell you one thing, sorry to interrupt you, the pronunciation from Jamie will be a lot better from me, guys. So there's an improvement straight away.
And that note, guys, seriously, if you do have messages, let us know on the social media channels at BTR Boxing Pod on Twitter, at Legend Night Pod on Twitter, or BTR Boxing Podcast Network on Facebook as well, and Instagram, whichever platform you are on, and you can give us a message for Johnston, please do it, because I know it'd be really nice. I love seeing the messages from people when they come through, and it really, really does, it warms my heart, it really does. It's really nice to see people getting a benefit out of us sitting here and producing it, and all the hours of research, all the hours of production, everything that we put into it out of our own lives and the time that we put into this, even just a few messages like that, it does mean the world. It really does. It means more than money could buy. Absolutely. And I'd take that with me and give me something to look back on in years to come and go, do you know what? We was able to produce things that were able to touch some people's lives in some way or help them escape from reality in some way. So we do hope you've enjoyed the show in general with Johnston over the last 5 years. But it is a new dawn and a new day. As season 5 comes back to the BTR Boxing Podcast next year, there will be 10 new episodes of Legendary Nights. We will be hoping to retell some of the original Legendary Nights in the way in which we do them now. Or there might be tales that we've covered that we've only done one part to, and we want to do two parts to, and we want to do what we've done with Ben versus Eubank in this season. So there are a lot of possibilities with Legendary Nights next season. If you have any recommendations that you might want us to explore, again, just let us know on the social media channels. We'd really be interested to hear from you about what potential legendary stories and nights that you'd want us to do. It'd be really interesting to hear from you guys on that score as well. But that is it for this particular episode and this season of Legendary Nights. We really hope you've enjoyed it. And if you have, again, let us know on social media. Finally, I've got to say a massive, massive thank you to the patrons of BTR Boxing Podcast Network, because your support over the past few years has helped us get to this level and develop these shows into what they are. And in return, we have given you early access to the episodes, ad-free versions of the episodes. You've had input into what's been going into these seasons over the past 2 or 3 years. So please continue to subscribe to us via Patreon, because it really does help us. And if you're listening and you are in a position where you can help us and you can help us go to that next level, go to patreon.com, see the available membership tiers. And if you can contribute in just a small way, every little really does help. It all adds up and it all allows us to continue to produce high quality content here at the BTR Boxing Podcast Network. But that is it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to this season of Legendary Nights, and we will be back next year for season 5.
Oh! Wonderful shot by Lennox Lewis!
A right hand by Holyfield!
By Buster Douglas! Look at this! He's knocked Mike Tyson down for the first time in his career!
But unfortunately, it'll never happen.
Front! Punches! It punches! And it's over!
I think it's gonna be over!
I have to say, there seems an element of genuine hate between these two, Ambrose.
For sure. I don't hate the man.
Just imagine if you bought a ticket. Stop it, Frank. You can stop it any time.
Castillo's in trouble. Weak steps in, and the fight is over.
Oh! You got your nose here.
Podcast Network.